Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Late for the Party on Spotify. I am your host, Harry LaBrea, a.k.a. Cubba Boy, the Modern Marvel. That's right, y'all. We are going to get into an In My Mind about wrestling. And not just wrestling. We're going to get into WWE. But something special about WWE has been popping up as of late, which is the rise of the baby faces. We have been getting baby faces more so than normal, and I'm gonna go down the list of baby faces that's been popping up on the grid. That honestly, it's been pretty refreshing since the whole changes of what's been going on in the wrestling industry right now. But before we get into that, please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support the podcast. You can check me out on all forms of social media. You can check me out on my Spotify. You can see my flow code and everything on my social media. We'll link you to all of my one-stop shopping, listening pleasure. You can even check out all my instrumentals on my SoundCloud, which is connected to the Peanut Gallery Network. Yes, you guys, so I'm all over the place. So check me out, YouTube, TikTok, you know, do my little gaming and whatnot. So yeah, just check it out. You see all the notifications that pops up. Also check out all the cool Teespring merch, all the cool Late for the Party merch on spring.com, you guys. Now I'm saying spring because it says Teespring, but it is spring. But before, let's get into it. Screw all that. Let's get into it, you guys. So, man, now, I love watching wrestling. You know, sometimes it can be a little hit and miss. Sometimes it could be good. You know, we go in for the soap opera-ish style, but sometimes when they start blending reality with some of the storylines and everything, it kind of makes it pretty good. But the cool part is, well, at one point before it got cool, one thing there was going on is because the bad guys were getting cheered and the good guys were getting booed. That was the only thing that kind of threw everything out of left field, because it's like, you know, like during the John Cena era, like everybody was either booing John Cena because, oh, he didn't turn heel, or he was just so cookie cutter and they were just pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, where nobody else really kind of got that same notoriety. It was just him and only him. Yet there was characters like Daniel Bryan, aka Bryan Danielson, or CM Punk, who everybody was literally rooting for, but they decided to go with the people who pretty much like, oh, we're just gonna go with John Cena because it's safe. But now that's kind of changed. You know, even though Roman Reigns, they tried to push Roman Reigns down our throat by making him the big dog and the guy and all of that crap. But when he came back, when he was on hiatus, and then he came back pushing the whole head of the table, tribal chief, you know, acknowledge me, Roman Reigns. He is literally the face of WWE, but the thing is, he's not a face. And what I mean by face and heels, heels are basically the villains, while baby faces or face is the heroes of wrestling, pretty much. In that aspect. So, but he's a full-blown heel. He's a likable heel, but he's a full-blown heel. So, but somewhere along the lines, they made the conscious decision, and I think all this lands on Triple H's lap, that he obviously sees something that obviously Vince McMahon does not. Maybe because he's starting to get of age and he just decides, oh, I want this guy to be the champion and whatnot. But with Triple H, he sees a lot more than what you know, he sees somebody who's popping, or the fans are giving, this one character a pop, and then boom, look what happens. Everybody's all good to go. Everybody likes these characters, and the thing is, it's obviously to give these characters a push, because maybe it might be a good thing that that's happening. Prime example, I'm going to name out a couple of characters who obviously are getting great pushes from these, I mean, from the crowd, which honestly, if you're not listening to the crowd, then you're not making any money. Prime example, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes came back to WWE like a whirlwind. And I'm loving the fact that, like, they're doing this whole thing where it's saying, I gotta finish the story. And obviously, there's some truth to what he is trying to bring. And it's coming out in full circle. Because keep in mind, Cody Rhodes is a guy who's pretty much a third generation or a second generation or third generation wrestler who is from a legendary wrestler of Dusty Rhodes, his brother, aka Goldust, you know, Dustin Rhodes. And you got Cody, who is WWE. They tried to slap the Stardust gimmick on him, and obviously he wasn't feeling that too much, and he decided to head out and jump on the indies. He created created AEW with other cats of the Elite and whatnot, and next thing you know, he decided to come back. And I mean, it's very seldom that somebody like Vince McMahon would come to his house to go talk about bringing you to WWE. And I'm loving how his whole, like, it's not even, I wouldn't even say a gimmick. I think this is really who Cody Rhodes is. Like, right now, Cody Rhodes is literally, to me, the face of WWE. He just doesn't have the title. You know what I'm saying? Between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns having titles and whatnot, Cody is literally the face of WWE. I mean, he's likable, he's charming, he's got that never say die, I won't quit, you know, I won't fail and everything. And when he loses or when he wins, you feel it. I mean, everybody's singing his song. Kingdom is the shit. There's never a dull moment that I'm sitting here singing Kingdom. You know, when you got people singing your theme music and shit, you obviously got something going for yourself. Now, the next person that's on that list is Seth Rollins. Now, don't get me wrong. Seth Rollins has been going through an amalgamation of, you know, Seth frickin' Rollins all the way up from the time he was the Architect and whatnot. So, all the way to the time where he was a part of the Shield, where he was hated, to where he was when Roman Reigns was in and out, and, you know, where Dean Ambrose was gone, or aka Jon Moxley. They decided to push him. They tried to face the face push, but then they turned him back into a heel. And during this whole the Messiah time during the pandemic, this transformation of the drip god and whatnot, and then now he's just being him. I wouldn't say he's being himself to some degree, but he's just more carefree. He's more loose about it. And they're just giving him a chance to breathe. You know, where he's not acting all cookie cutter. Which is rightfully so the reason why they made him the WWE champion. You know what I'm saying? They made him the WWE champion for a purpose, because obviously they're not going to drop the belt to, I mean, they're not going to drop Obviously, we don't know who they're going to drop the belt to Roman Reigns, honestly. But for what I understand, between Cody or Seth, I think they'll probably give it to Cody before they drop it to, before they give the Universal title to Seth. But that's the reason why they gave them the second belt. Because obviously, between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, those are one of the two most popular and one of the few that's actually been there the longest to me. So far, I mean, I'm liking the fact that Seth Rollins is doing what he's doing. I mean, look at him. Like I said, they're singing his theme music and everything. I mean, like I said, when you got people singing your fucking theme music, it's obviously a good thing. So, let's just keep it a buck, you know what I'm saying? When people are singing your theme music, it's a great thing. So, now we're moving on to a couple other people. Main event, Jey Uso. Yes, they separated the twins, and right now, main event Jey Uso is probably the most, like, he just came out of left field. His twin Jimmy got injured. He stepped up, like what he said, he stepped up. He main evented pay-per-views. He battled his cousin. And let's be 100% honest with it too. Roman has not beaten Jimmy. I mean, he hasn't beaten Jay, his own cousin, in a fair fight. He never beat him fairly. So, that being said, so the thing with Jimmy, I mean, the thing with Jay is that he hasn't beaten him in, Roman has not beaten Jay in a fair fight. Didn't make him tap. He made Jimmy throw in the towel. He started putting in the chokehold on Jimmy, and he tapped out like that. And then Jimmy kicking him in. Everything kind of revolves around Jimmy. That's funny. And then what makes matters more entertaining, though? Jay is the only one to actually officially pin Roman. He's the only one out of, 3 years or so to actually pin Roman. And honestly, that is dope. I mean, between a lot of people who actually deserve or earn the right to beat Roman would honestly, to me, be Jay. But the thing is like, this is why they're obviously, and I think this is the reason why Triple H is really giving Jay that push to see exactly if Triple H is giving Jay that push to see if he can actually pull it off, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, and rightfully so. So let's see how his solo run gives him enough traction to maybe eventually once again become the main event Jey Uso to actually conquer the head of the table. Then there's cats like Chad Gable. Chad Gable honestly should have been the next guy to have been Kurt Angle's protege or anybody right under him. Like, he's very dope wrestler. I'm really liking the fact that he's getting this push right now. The matches between him and Gunther, which honestly, like I said, he's the only one so far who's beaten Gunther, even though it was a count out, but he's beaten Gunther. and a count out and everything, but between the matches and the standing ovation that he got on the Raw last week, their match was great. And for a dope heel like Gunther, you get a dope face, and like you're starting to see this traction with Chad Gable, where honestly he should have been getting a decent push even when he was with American Alpha with Jason Jordan, but they were trying to make Jason Jordan a guy. Jason Jordan got injured, and that's where we got Chad Gable. Now, Chad Gable should be that guy to actually be their today's version of a Kurt Angle-ish. A Kurt Angle-esque type character. Which, honestly, I think they would have been a better deal if they would have made him his illegitimate son to do it like that anyway. But, you know, I digress from my point. But it's good to get that kind of notoriety, you know? But then you got LA Knight, who is blowing up like 10 mugs. LA Knight is definitely one of those megastar who just came out of left field. Everybody's liking how he is, even though they're trying to say, oh, he acts like Stone Cold or The Rock, or he sounds like The Rock and Stone Cold, and you excuse me. Shit. You know, trying to give him this push. But when you see the iron striking, you should strike while the iron's hot. Because you don't know. It'd be a fool's ploy just to let everything fall under. And it's not like LA Knight has been done this dance with WWE. Like, he had to step out of WWE just to do something in Impact, and then do his thing, and then come back as Max Dupree to transform to be LA Knight. But the man who says, "Let me talk to you," and with his, what everybody's saying, LA Knight, yeah! I like how he says that shit, but it's funny as hell. But I like this little feud that they had him going with The Miz, which honestly, like I said, where you got a lot of heels, you gotta have a good baby face, you know? And you're turning someone like LA Knight, who is pretty much a badass, he has to be today's version of a badass. The badass has to be like this badass smart mouth. So you kind of are getting the Stone Cold-ish, Rock-ish type character kind of fused all into one. But I don't see it as a mock-up as one or the other. I think like he's just turning it into his own unique person. Now, there might be some comparisons to some degree, but deep down, there is some that obviously it's going to work out great for him. You know? So, I mean, there's some dope stuff going on. But that's the thing. We haven't had this many options. I mean, there's more people out there, too, like the LWO. The LWO right now is a good push even for them, because it's like, you know, we're getting that notoriety, we're getting a different faces like Escobar and Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega and the other guys. I keep forgetting their names, but you know, it's good because, you know, we don't really have a faction that's a good guy faction. We got Judgment Day. We got Bloodline. But, I mean, then we got the Alpha Academy and whatnot. And, you know, but then, you know, you got Imperium, too. but we don't really have many good guy factions that are really... I mean, we got the likable ones, but there's not enough of them. They're kind of outnumbering us in the bad guy department. You know? But it's good. It's a good fresh face. Refreshing to see, you know, a little bit of, you know, not your atypical cookie cutter, aka white people. But also, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Very good that, even though, truth be told, between Sami Zayn is funny as fuck. I love how they've been pushing him. It kind of gives me vibes of how they did with Daniel Bryan. You know, he's just like that odd man out, or like the underdog. But the underdog has so much fight in him that he's not going to give up. And then he got his best friend, aka best frenemy, Kevin Owens, who can be an asshole, can be pretty much a villain, but damn near a likable one too. But with them being good guys and everything, them being faces and everything, it's always a great thing to see. But just with him making me laugh like so much. I love Sami Zayn. Like, during the time where he was like affiliated with the Bloodline, was probably the best gems could make you laugh. I mean, some of the promos and everything that was going on, people were just breaking character. All right, Roman broke character. Fucking Jimmy, even Solo Sikoa broke in character plenty of times. Which is very, very needed. But those are like the top baby faces to me right now. I think they're making AJ Styles a baby face once again. And I think his crew, the OC, is like another faction that could be on the verge of being good guys and whatnot. And it's good to see. Like, we haven't really got this kind of notoriety since, like, what, the Attitude Era? So, like, you know, where there was choices where you could pick, like, okay, you just don't have to just follow suit being a Stone Cold fan or a Rock fan. Like, you know, if you want to be a Hardys fan or Edge fan, or, you know, you got your options. I mean, even for classic wrestlers like Hogan and all of that stuff when they were there, or when Triple H was actually a good guy going up against his family and whatnot, you know, you had options. You had options, and it was a dope thing. And I'm happy to be a part of it. Like, you know, wrestling, you know, it's good to talk about it in a good way. And you got to give props to Triple H, because he sees the reason why. Like, he sees what's going on with it. And, you know, we're getting some good quality stuff out of it. But either way, you guys, I digress from my point. I'm going to get off the hook. So either way, you guys, this is the In My Mind segment on Late for the Party on Spotify, you guys. I am your host, Melodious, a.k.a. Harry La Brea, a.k.a. Coverboy, the Modern Marvel. That's right, you guys. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support the podcast. And check me out on all forms of social media, you guys. So, like always, and always, I always say, if you're late for the party, you're always on time. Take care.